Hi and welcome to Artists Alive. I'm Gustav Zwentin-Avstrom and this is a show where I interview people in the entertainment industry so that you can be inspired and do your thing. And with me, I've got Jonathan Blues.
Hey.
What's up?
I mean, I just went on a bus, a train, and there's a marathon today. It was very exciting. I love Stockholm.
Yeah, and this is the 100th episode.
I'm honored.
Yeah.
100!
It's crazy to think I've done this show for now 7 years. Crazy, time flies by. But for my listeners, can't you tell them a little bit about yourself and what you said you do?
Sure. I'm a singer, songwriter, producer. I'm from LA. I lived in New York for a while. I've been around the States. And I've been coming to Sweden for a long time, longer than I want to admit, because then it tells you how old I am. But I love Sweden, and I love the music business here. So I've been doing this a really long time, music, and it takes some delusion and some, you know, you just have to stick with it. And things finally start to come together. Kind of like we were talking about your 100th episode. It's like you start something, and then you build it, and something happens.
How did you get your start in music?
I mean, I was always singing. I used to sing duets with my sister when I was like 3, talent shows and stuff. And then one time my dad bumped the karaoke machine and it skipped. And so I ran off stage and I didn't sing until high school or gymnasium. And then I like went back at it. I did a lot of musical theater. And one show I did in Simi Valley, the Simi Valley Cultural Arts Center, Marty Panzer came and he wrote like Barry Manilow songs and Barbra Streisand songs. And he left a note at the front desk, and I ended up going to see him and started doing some like a demo for him, and ended up getting a scholarship to UCLA for like their lyric program. So that kind of opened my eyes to like collaborating and making songs, because I'd so much been in like musical theater and like choir in high school and all of that stuff. So then that kind of started me, and eventually I met some Swedes, because I met Savan Kotecha at an ASCAP expo. ASCAP's like STEM here. Yeah. He said that he heard my music and he was like, you should go to Sweden. And so then I looked for a Swede like all over. I was like, Swedish, like looking. And I found this guy named Fritjof Stenvall, who lives up in Luleå, and he was there with Beady Pop, which is like a government funded program. They help musicians, they do music videos, they do all kind of beautiful work. And they had a bunch of Swedes there in a mansion. And he wrote me this email, come house this time. And I went. I don't know, you know, I mean, that was kind of, I could have been killed. Then I started working with all of them, and in person and virtually, and just kind of snowballed from there and learned so much from everyone.
What a journey.
Yeah.
And you're about to, you know, continue your journey, because this is like one of your last days in Stockholm now, is it?
I keep extending. I can't leave. I'm like, I'm going to go back. So I keep like changing things and calling the airlines and being all tricky to try to stay. I want to stay for Midsummer, but I don't think I can. No. I have to go back because I've been working with Willa Ford, and we've been working the last 7 years, like on her album, and had a bunch. She flew out some Swedes, and we wrote about 50 songs and got it down to what her album is now, and that's just been a really exciting thing too. But I don't want to bounce around too much. But she premiered on the Today Show. She did all the fancy things, Entertainment Tonight. I'm in American Songwriter magazine. Like, it's all new to me, because I've been hustling a long time.
Mm-hmm. And this is, what, her sophomore album?
This is her sophomore album. I was a big fan of hers, you know, 25 years ago. She was like, it was like Britney Spears, Jessica Simpson, Willa Ford, you know, Mandy Moore. Like, all of those people were around then, and she had the song I Wanna Be Bad. And she toured with the Backstreet Boys, and I mean, I loved her. And then she went into acting. Like, there was no more music. And one day my friend, we went to Disneyland and she introduced me to her, and then I kind of bugged her and we, you know, brought Swedes, and once I brought some Swedes, we were good.
You're like obsessed with Swedes.
Well, because you guys are the best in the world at this. Like, there's an education system, there's places, like we're in the House of Creatives right now, and there's all these studios and spaces where people can make art and learn, and there's like nurturing of talent. There's not as much in the States for that. So that's why I'm so obsessed. But so we worked on that, and then the rest just kind of came together, and then she got the bug. You know, probably like 3 years ago, I could tell she was now gonna make an album. And then she is such a hard worker and so creative with how she does it. So she knew how to do all the other sides of the industry that I don't, like the music videos and like the great managers. She has Red Light Management and how to get media involved, and just been a really amazing experience.
Willa's new album, Amanda. How long were you working on it?
I mean, we did our first session with this guy, Johan Borsen, who worked with Max Martin and all these people. So that gave me some confidence to approach her, even though she's so approachable, but I was like nervous. So we went, and it turned out we went a day early, so she didn't expect us. And then she got ready really quick, and we wrote a song. And so she was kind of putting her toe back in, but I could, you know, it was more for other people. And then it just kind of evolved. I started going up to her place, and she has this like barn that they turned into a guest house, and you can see the ocean. It's just gorgeous. And we just kept working and kept working, and I brought producers up and brought my friends, like my best guys that I know that I've worked with for a lot of years, and just started making more songs. And she had everything it takes to be a pop star. Like it was sitting there and she wasn't using it, you know? So yeah, then I, like the last 3 years is when it really clicked, and then we started just getting song after song. One of my friends, Gustav Asahi, who is a Latin Grammy nominated producer, and he has platinum here. We had 5 days where it was just like boom, 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 and we got 5 songs. And I could really tell then, you know, it was very personal. It was about kind of why she's no longer in the music business. And we processed a lot of things. Sometimes she would speak things. Like, as a songwriter, I noticed sometimes an artist will say their truth. Sometimes they rhyme. And sometimes, and they don't even know, but it's like, ooh, that's the hook. That's the da-da. You know, I can, because I've been in so many sessions and so many writing things that you can catch it. And that's, you want truth, and you want it to be the person, the artist, and we were so lucky to catch a lot of that. And so then it just evolved, and then she built her team, and she's doing it independently, but in a brilliant way. And her fans responded really well. At her show, we did it at Aviator Nation in Malibu. It was funny to see the front row, because it was like guys like me. Like basically it's four people that were just like me. Like they loved her music, they still remember her, they wanted her to come back. So it was really fun. I call myself like the canary in the coal mine, because I'm like, if I like it, then they're all gonna like it, you know? She has a big gay following. Yes, we'd test. Like if I was dancing, I'm like, I think this is gonna work for them. You know what I mean? So it was just a beautiful experience. And she then did like a photo shoot, which I almost passed out at, because it was with all the best people. Like they were like, oh, I remember when we did this with Bella Hadid. I was like, oh my Lord. You know, just phenomenal team of people to do this photo shoot that she did that was gorgeous. And then she did a music video that I almost, you know, her stylist Melissa is just amazing. Melissa stylist, she's toured with Katy Perry in Japan and done her styling, and just brilliant team and brilliant taste. So that was so fun to see the other side, because I've been focused on music, and she opened my eyes to how important all the other stuff is too. So it was just a really fun with all my friends. I landed from Sweden. I was up at Kiruna, like doing a camp, which is way up north. Everyone should go. It's really fun.
And cold.
And cold. I've never experienced cold like that. Like, I saw an older lady like walking outside the window of the hotel, and I thought she was going to blow away. I was like, oh my gosh, is she going to fly? Oh. But yeah, I went straight from Kiruna back to the Abbey, where she we came in on a fire truck with a bunch of like men in Speedos and firemen's hats, and like came at, like I have the coolest picture. I'm used to, you know, sleeping on couches and going to Nashville and trying to get into camps, and I've had a lot of great experiences too, but this was just such a beautiful thing. So it's been so exciting.
Did anything go wrong?
Things always not go wrong, but like you have to rewrite things, or you have to like work a song. So sometimes maybe they're, you know, along the way to with mixing, sometimes you lose the magic for a second and then you get it back. So all those regular things happen. And I mean, the struggle is still there when you're a songwriter. You still have to try to make money in all different kinds of ways. Like, it's kind of hard in the States. So you still gotta like hustle, even though you have something coming that's beautiful, you still gotta work and do all kinds of things. So that's always prompted me to do song camps. I learned how to do song camps in New York City when I lived there from this lady, Sharon Tapper, who's like an icon of the industry. She's amazing. And she let me do some song camps with them. And then I learned kind of the process and what these are. And basically a song camp, if you don't know, it's like if Rihanna needs an album, they put together a song camp where there's like three people in each room, typically a top liner, producer, and the artist, and you make these songs really quick with a bunch of people. You can also have song camps that try to write songs for TV, film, and you do it for a couple days, and then you have the industry come to hear the songs and hopefully get them places. So I've gotten involved with that, with all different kinds of organizations, and met so many wonderful people that way. So sometimes, even though you feel like you have to do extra and hustle, and you get these extra things from it. And that's part of why I get to come to Sweden so much, because I get these jobs out here, and then I get to do fun things.
Yeah.
So we have to be communities now and help each other, because the business is so hard.
Definitely.
And they've made it so hard to make money with it. Like, the rates haven't really changed since 1903 that we get paid. And people tend to see the rich artists and they think, oh, that's musicians. But it's like, there was a middle class, even more musicians. So you don't have to be a bajillionaire, a young talogan or whatever, you know, it's more my style. Like, I'd love to just survive and do it, but they made that a little harder. So that's one of my passions, is to hopefully help change the business so people have a fighting chance. And I think, again, Sweden gives people that chance more than most places, which is what drew me here, you know, another reason.
I think that you can't really be a creative person unless you dare to be yourself or, like, talk about what you worked on.
You do have to stand out, it's true. But I think there's another word you guys say where it's like, you don't need too much. So you don't have to go too far, you know. And I think part of it is giving to others. We have to do stuff for others, and then it comes back, you know.
Sure.
And I think we need more of that in the industry. And I see so much of it in the industry. People wouldn't make it if other people didn't help them, if you don't give a hand up, you know, or give an opportunity. So I love that I get to be a part of that, you know, doing these song camps. If I see someone that's like right on the cusp of a professional, you put them in a professional room with like a big artist, and then they get the confidence, like, oh, it's just like any other session, but this person has a big following. And then you learn so much, like when your song gets out there and people hear it, you learn about your work and you learn about your audience and who you're writing for.
I think when we're all giving each other the confidence to do our thing, we're all leveling up together, as you say. But I mean, generally, if we keep to ourselves or we don't dare to share what we're doing, I mean, how would we ever move forward then?
You're right. I need to look up Jente Logan, the definition, because I think you're right. Yeah, no, but we do have to stand out, and you have to be an individual and hold on to your individuality, but not too preciously, because I see that sometimes where people are worried about being exposed to other kinds of writing, or, you know, they want to keep their originality. And there's always exceptions to the rule where maybe that really works if you just keep alone and write for yourself. But I think that we're all influenced by music. We're not reinventing the wheel. Like, almost everything's been done, but you have to find how it's you and the truth. It goes back to the truth of the artist and the combination in the room and the safe space to take chances. And I think the weirder, the better.
Art creates art, as you say, and you know, when you start a session, you don't maybe have anything there, but then when you leave, you have something, you know, very magical.
It's the craziest thing. Yeah, and sometimes you don't leave with something magical, but then you can rework it. That doesn't you know, you can look at that idea and there might be something there. So I think not giving up on things, and then also knowing when to give up on something. Not everyone's for everyone, you know. They could be a nice person, but you're just not, it's not a fit, you know. So it's really good to collaborate and find your people, because if you find someone you just click with, like, you can work with them the rest of your life and make things that work, and that you start to get a little system down and you start to get your team down. I've heard too, it's like an elevator. Like, everyone around you is on this, like, you're all leveling up together. Like you said, you don't need to reach for the highest person, the best person in the industry, and you have to work with Rihanna now. Like, there's a new Rihanna and she might be right next to you. And work with the people around you and help them develop, and then you all rise up together. It's over and over again, you see that.
When working together on a song or something, how do you know if a person is a good fit for you? How do you know if you can collaborate with each other?
You can kind of tell the vibe. Like, there's this Stephen Pressfield book, The War of Art, and he says a hired gun knows a hired gun. Like, and so you can just kind of tell who knows the vibe and who... You know, and there's a lot of different ways to write. So it's about being open, but you can tell if someone's had similar experience or they've worked as hard, and then it just goes so smoothly. And it's good, too, to have ones that don't go smoothly. Like, it's good to try to figure out how you find the magic in different combinations. I've written in Spanish, which I wasn't that good in high school in Spanish, but it's all about the concept and the truth always. Like, finding the truth, finding the concept, finding the artist, and then something that you like. Like, if I move, like the canary, you know, the canary in the coal mine, like, if it makes me move, or if it makes me get goosebumps, or be emotional, or... So you turn into, like, a sensor trying to find that thing. And the more you do it, just like anything else, it's a craft. Like, you get better at it. I'd still doubt myself all the time. But I know in the Stephen Pressfield book, too, he says, like, the false artist is wildly confident. And the other is just always, am I this? Am I? You're always asking, am I? But think in that question, then you rise up to the fear and face it. And then you make something, you know. When you expose your it starts a conversation. If you say the truth, it begins something that's real, and hopefully something that's not something AI learns. I don't know, AI might learn how to be real, but I can still hear it. I can spot an AI. But yeah, so it's just being human and like connecting and enjoying the process. Maybe it's not a huge hit, but you had a great day and you were with people you loved and you spent your time wisely, because we don't know how long we're here. Here for a good time, not a long time, you know? So it's just that. You just do it. It's like a faith-based thing. You're just like, whoop, you know? Mm. I'm from America, so I'm like, faith.
I've always had this idea when I was little that I wanted to work with something that doesn't really feel like a job, but that can be something that just... you know, I don't want to work a 9-to-5. Yeah. That is not really... my thing.
I did that for a while. Yeah. It sucks.
Did you feel like that too?
Oh my when gosh, you were little? Yes. And I never fit into those places. And then you know, I actually enjoy like going to the DMV, which is where you get your license. Like, it's almost like strange to me. It's like everyone in line and doing this thing to get their... I like that experience, because I don't even know what day it is a lot, because I don't have 9-to-5. I don't have Monday through Friday. It's just, you wake up and you do what you love. And that takes a lot of work to get there. And you have to do... No one can skip the line. Like, you got to do what you got to do to get to these places. And be strategic a little bit. And figure out how you do it. You know, how your career is. You have to... You're an entrepreneur when you're, like, a creative. You have to figure out how to make your career happen. And make it make sense. And still be a little in the real world. But mostly delusional. It doesn't make sense to most people that live like that, that it's like, and I kind of envy them sometimes, where it's like this structured thing. You go to school, you did it, you get the job, you get the house. But even we see now that's kind of disappearing. Yeah. Like, I think creatives are actually going to be the ones that are okay. Because all these jobs that are like admin and, you know, AI is kind of replacing them. But creativity and friendships and community, like, the robots don't have that yet. I mean, the robots might make friends. I know they're building a lot of them, but Yeah, I think that it's a really lucky thing, and to be a creative and to get to try all this different stuff with art.
When it comes to AI, do you think there's like a worry in the music industry that people's jobs are gonna be replaced in the future? Or?
I mean, I think some jobs will be. Like, I do a lot of songs that are in the background of TV shows, and you don't really hear the songs, not featured. It's just kind of like a beat, like it's a scene in a movie where they're in a bar and you just kind of hear the song in the background. I think some of those things might go away. I don't know, depending on how the laws, you know, because that's not as important about the lyric and the melody. But I'm not worried at all. Like, I think it's a tool. I think you can use it creatively. I don't believe in pushing a button and you have a song and then put it out. You know what I mean? Mm. But I know some of those have had little bits of success. But I think that's why we all crave... like real, and we crave live, and why there's these trends like the mic is on and all this stuff. We want to know people can sing. We want to know they can dance and play their instruments, and that's never going to go away. We're attached to the person. Like, I don't really get attached to an AI, you know, but if it suddenly makes a great song, like, I might listen to it. So, you know, I'm not like scared of it. I'm not like pushing it away, but I believe in art and truth and all the things. And if you can use it to elevate something, that's amazing, you know, or do something like a big project and you're kind of sketching out what the production might want to look like-ish, you know, there's ways to use it creatively, but I think very carefully and mindfully too. And I know, like, with Eurovision, they're getting good at detecting AI. I think there was a song that, like, they found it had AI, or, you know, you can hear the artifacts in the sounds. So it's not a concern, and I know it'll evolve, but it's here, and I just think we have to keep doing what we're doing the right way, with the right intentions, with the right people, and also build platforms for ourselves, because now it's more about us as almost brands, you know? Like, Selena Gomez, like, she makes more of her money from the makeup, I believe, than the music, you know? So it's like, that's part of it, the brand, but music's gotten so confusing, because you can stream something a bajillion times and you get 0.00000, you know, 8 cents or something. And now things are moving to TikTok, which is even less money for music. So it's more just like, so people get to know you, and then live has become more important than ever. So it's funny, like, it's like actually real music and real things are more important than ever. And the song, I think, has become more important. The lyric has become more important to try to get closer to the truth and who we are as humans. So I'm kind of inspired by all of it. I think it's put less weight on the production, because producers used to be they were the king. Like, we all had to, like, pay so much, and you only have an hour sometimes to go do it. And now you have a little bit more leeway if you just write songs, or if you can kind of show a producer what you are envisioning. So I think there's a lot of potential and good things, and of course some downsides.
Yeah, I really enjoy when things are real, and as you say, you can use AI maybe to like elevate something, but I just think things get so boring when there's no like human involved and stuff. And I notice it a lot when I get like pitches to my email, like for people who want to, you know, come on this show and whatever. I notice when a pitch is written by AI, because you know, they use those certain characters that can't really be humanly replicated on a keyboard that easily. And you know, I just notice. Yeah. I just notice, and then I just won't bother responding, because I feel like if you want to be on this show and you haven't even, you know, spent your time writing me an email, like, how are you gonna function in the studio?
It makes sense, and we can spot it, because you know the truth. Like, you can tell, and I hope we always can tell. But yeah, I'm not scared of it, and I agree with you. It just has to be used mindfully and minimally, or in certain creative ways in the process. Like, there's certain genres it's helpful sometimes. There's certain things, you know? But I think organic and just real instruments, there's so many people I see now that are just doing it all the old way, or they're doing it on tape, or people just have this craving to go back to a different time too, I think, in music. So it's cool, it's causing that to happen, and I think the world always rebalances itself. So I have faith in this generation too, because they're so savvy. This generation grew up in all technology, like, so they hear it, they know. It's up to this generation to define. It's not up to these older people. They can barely turn on their phones. They don't even know what AI is. That's why they're so scared of it. It's just AI. You know, they don't know what it is. So you have to educate yourself, and you have to do your craft. And then, yeah, certain jobs in other industries are definitely in danger, but it's the boring, you know, like a lot of it. But the billionaires and all this that replace people, like Walmart, if it replaced, not to go after Walmart, I don't know, but whatever jobs are replaced that humans never really wanted to do in the first place, I do think there should be some kind of standard income for people, and there should be some money given back. It shouldn't just go into one person's pocket because AI is replacing humans. But those are other industries. I don't need to worry about that. Wow. And I love Walmart, so you know, don't get mad at me.
Let's move on to your project. I was thinking my listeners could get to know you and your music as well.
Oh, how nice of you all.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi. So when did you decide that you wanted to make music for yourself?
I mean, that was my first intention, you know, and then you go into places and they say, well, you have to have hits and then we'll let you do it. So I really focused on other artists for such a long time, and I'd kind of just do it in the back burner. Like, whatever songs I had left over, I would release, or I would do features and all this kind of stuff. But just lately I've started focusing on it more, and that takes a lot of confidence to be like, oh, I'll be the artist in the room. It's kind of scary because I've met so many artists and they're so amazing. You start to get in your head. You're like, can I be an artist? You know, do I have that in me? So I think I've always had that double thing. I'm like, maybe I'm just supposed to help write and produce, or maybe I'm supposed to, you know. But it's been so fun to find who I am as an artist. And I did this song with Joel Werner, or Yul Werner, I guess you guys would say, and Michaela Stridbeck. And I've been working with them a lot, and they're just so easy to write with and so fun to write with. And we wrote this song, Zeitgeist, that was just so different for me, and like, just saying truth. And they let me do improv too, because I did a lot of musical improv around New York, and just kind of like freestyle and like things that I did in the very beginning. Like, you almost go back to who you already knew you were. Like, it's just, you just let yourself be yourself. But it's scary, the world's volatile, and you see the comments people leave on things. It's like, do you want to be known? You know, like, do you want hate? Do you, that used to scare me, but it's like, it's, when people hate on you, it's more about them. So it's, yeah, it's been fun, but it's always scary. But I love to be on stage, and I love to perform, and I love all of that stuff so much. And I feel like I want to talk to people, and I want to make people happy. Like, music can in 1 second change your whole mood. So we have to take the risk. And even if it's just a few people that feel something, or I make them happy, like, that's worth it. And so I'm going to keep doing it and focus on it more. I got to do a music video with Martin Olin. It's Olin. Sorry, I'm really good. Yeah. I need to practice my Swedish. But he's up in Luleå, and he is such an amazing music video director. I've seen him do this forever, and director in general. And he sends me lists of amazing movies that I need to watch. And so I'm like, okay, I love when someone gives me a list. But so that was so fun. Like, I loved doing the music video, and I was inspired seeing Willa do it, because I saw, like, you can make mistakes, you can do it. Like, she just keeps going, you know. So I just, to see her do it, and I knew her back when she was on Spring Break MTV and doing all the things, it made me feel confident to be like, hey, I can do this, you know. And I've been taking dance classes forever. I've been doing all the prep, but I wasn't, like, doing it. And so now I want to do it. So my artist project is called Bluth, which is my last name. And there's a show, Arrested Development, that everyone's like, Bluth, because it's the Bluth family. So I always hear that. A lot of people think it's Bluetooth, but I, like, shortened it to make it cool. But it did not. It's my last name. And when I was here a few times ago, I found out my great-great-grandpa was from Sweden. So there were Bluths in Sweden.
Wow.
And then they came to the U.S. So it was a weird thing to find out I was Swedish and, like, see my grandma, great-great-grandma and great-great-grandpa's faces when I was in Sweden. Like, that's the first time I saw and knew. And then it kind of made sense. It's like, this must have been what drew me back here, you know, for some reason.
One of your last singles, Horoscope, was released a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
What's it about to you?
Oof, yeah. I wrote that song like 3 years ago. So it's been sitting around. A lot of my songs end up doing that. Because then you're like, do I need a release strategy? Do I need a da-da-da? You know, you don't want to just release something and no one hears. But that was about a breakup. Like, I went through a really bad breakup, and I was in the midst of it. And I was in Sweden. And it was true. Like, it's the truth. I kept checking. I knew that he was checking his horoscope. And so I was checking to see and he would listen to his horoscope. So it was like, what is the horoscope saying? You know? And it was like, you should leave. It was literally like saying to break up. I was like, ah, crap. And then it's kind of pleading, like, remember the good before good turns into goodbye. I think sometimes in relationships you get in this negative place, and we had a lot of things happen that caused the breakup, but it's kind of about that. It was like kind of pleading to the person you love to hopefully remember the good things, and, you know, but it all turns out like it's all good now. I'm like, you know, when you're not supposed to be in a certain relationship, you end up in the right place. But I had a real rough few years, and that song was, I can remember being so emotional doing that. And that was with Gustav Afsahi, and that was with Michaela Stridbeck. And they, again, are so beautiful to write with and so open. I wrote with Michaela for a long time online every Sunday. I called it, like, my church, and learned so much from her. She's a brilliant songwriter, and it's a result of Swedish culture. She's been doing this forever. She was on, like, the radio in her town at the supermarket. To have that nurturing of talent and then to hear your work, that's unreal. We don't, you know, I don't hear about that in the States. And so it just makes these great artists, and I'm just lucky to be around all of them and just learned so much from them, and then got to do my artist stuff. So I'm just so thankful for the whole experience, and I'm thankful people have been listening to that song, because it I still feel the emotion in it, because I know what I felt like.
You know, sometimes when I've grabbed a coffee, a filica with somebody that I've interviewed or something, it's happened a couple of times that when we've been at a certain cafe or something that their song is being played or something. There was this singer who had a hit, and it was very new to her. And when it started happening, she was like really excited about it. Then a couple of weeks later, when we met again, her song was playing again. She was like, oh, well. And I think you get used to those kinds of things after a while.
It's very human. You know, we do. And we get used to our environments. We get used to, like, I'm walking around here like, wow, wow. And my friends are like, that's just a building. You know, like, because we get used to things. And I think it's part of our evolution. We want to grow. So you love that it happens. And it's really good to stay in that gratitude, because sometimes we forget great things that have happened. And then when we're having a bad day or like doubting our artistry, it's good to remember those things. So I try to remind myself. But also, I always want to evolve too. So I'm like, okay, you get it on the radio. Now you want it on this radio station. Now you want it even more on this, you know, and you want to reach more people. So depends on your drive. And you don't want to drive too far, because it's all about having a good life. All that stuff kind of leads nowhere if you chase the sizzle and not the steak. Really focus on your craft and who you're working with and the stuff you're making, and not all those extra fun things, because they're kind of nothing. Like, it's fun in the moment, and then you don't get to take the fancy party home. You don't get to take the radio hit home, you know? So I think that's an artist struggle, and I think that's why we see some people really struggle, or they get into drugs, they get into... And you can't do that stuff and have a sustainable career, you know? It's a mental health game. And again, Sweden's really into that. Like, you guys will ask me, how's your mental health? How's your... You know, that's not... You know, I'm not asked that a lot in the States. So that's why I'm so obsessed with Sweden, and why I try to spread the good word, because I think it'd be amazing if the world took some of these notes. Mm. And I think you guys love us too, because we're a little wild, we're a little free. We have this energy. You know, it's a beautiful combination. Mm. But I just love Scandinavia in general.
People are a bit more... open here when it comes to mental health and asking people how we're doing and stuff.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Because you guys act like you're closed off and stuff, but you're actually, you're not. Once you're a friend with a Swede, you're friends with them forever. I think Americans, we can come off like a little fake. You know, I've heard people like, oh, hi, you know. So I think it's really, we're not though. You know, that's just how we are. But yeah, once you're friends with a Swede, you're friends for life. So I love that about you guys.
Back to your music.
Hey.
Who are your inspirations?
Oof. That's so hard, because I listen to so much, and I grew up on like all the Motown stuff in the 50s and the 60s. Like, we used to have KRTH 101 was this station in LA, and it played all the good oldies and all that music. So my parents were so into music, but it never seemed like something that could happen. They didn't pursue it, but they both had amazing voices and would sing duets, and so I was so inspired by all that stuff. And then I really love the Max Martin sound. I mean, I didn't know that, but I didn't realize all these songs I was obsessed with, like Britney Spears. I think I bring up Britney Spears every day. I just love Britney, and I love the Backstreet Boys. I loved NSYNC, and I loved 98 Degrees. And then I got to work with like people that did those songs. You know, that was a real trip. Well, who else is an inspiration? I'm constantly listening to music. I'm constantly listening to new music. I always check out all the new music Fridays. And then I keep going back and looking at oldies. I've been trying to find 50s and 60s music from Sweden, like what was going on here. And because I think if you mix that all together, then you get something weird, you get something different. But I'm still figuring out what my sound is sometimes. You know, you land on things, but I kind of go from dance pop, and then I'll do like a ballad, and I go to Nashville and I write country songs there. So because I'm a songwriter, I've written in so many genres, that was a challenge to like find an artist sound. But I think that's okay. And I think it's okay to do different things. And I think it's okay to keep experimenting, and then you land on something. And I don't think we control that. I think you gotta just make what you love right then, and, you know, not be too precious about it. I could name a lot of names that I love, you know? But I just love music so much, and I love when you get goosebumps. I love to dance, like I love to move.
Do you have any like goals or dreams for your artist projects that you would like to have accomplished in the future?
I mean, I really need to start performing more, so that's one of them. I want to do more music videos. I want to work with more people, and I want to find my sound more so you know it's me when you hear it. I work with David Frank, who was in The System. He did Genie in a Bottle, he Chaka Khan, Phil Collins, like Lizzo, like decades of work, because I've been at his studio so much. When I'm in the car and I hear a song that's his, I can tell it's him, like it sounds like him. And I think that's the goal, is to be so yourself. It's so weird, like it's a catch-22 of how to be yourself. And then when you are, it like works, you know? Mm-hmm. But you can't listen to other people too, because they'll tell you what your sound should be. They'll tell you, publishers will kind of say like, this person's the artist, you're not the artist. And you'll talk to them 2 years later and they're like, oh, you're the artist. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, so you can't listen to other people's opinions. You don't know if they ate lunch. They might just be in a bad mood. So you have to believe in yourself, and you have to be a little delusional and see where you're headed. And I could say my goals are all these things, like a Grammy and an Oscar and a Tony. And I used to say I wanted to be an EGOT winner, because I kind of do. You know, I think that that's so fun. Like Whoopi Goldberg's an EGOT. Why can't I be too?
Yeah.
You know, I think I love acting too. I love dancing. I love musical theater. I love music and entertainment. So I have big dreams, and a lot of them have come true. Like a lot of things that I've envisioned or been specific about happen. I've lived in LA and Hollywood and been around that stuff, and I've met good people there that do it for the right reasons and that are true stars, you know? And so I know that it's possible.
It's always a bit of a clutch or something when you're kind of figuring out who you are musically or something, and then other people are perceiving you a different way. Mm-hmm. I mean, without really delving into it a little bit, but to somebody listening who's going through that, what kind of advice would you have for that person?
You know, I think Cher says, just keep going. You know, like, you just have to keep going. And, like, the struggle is part of it. You have to overcome the struggle. And then you get these tools. All the struggle made me stronger. You have to fail forward. You have to collaborate. You have to be open. And there's exceptions to every rule. Some people like just sing something into a voice memo and it goes viral and they have a billion streams and they got a career, you know, but that's not typical. So I think it's just not giving up and believing in yourself. You're the only one. It's like Trisha Paytas. Mm. She believed in herself. She thought she was going to do all these things, and she does. She's a great example of just like, you do it and you believe it. And as humans, we feel that. We know when someone believes in themselves, and then we believe it too. We get to decide who we are. And if you let other people decide it, you know, we only live once. We gotta freaking do this, you know? It's up to you. Like, no one's coming to save you. You gotta figure out your path and what you're doing. And you can. And the universe helps you, too. You take one step and the universe does 1,000. Do what you're afraid of. That was something I used to think I would do some... Even this trip, like here, I keep extending it. Like, it's like, it's a little, you know, a little risky. Like, but I push it. And because I do, like, when I didn't get on the plane a few days ago to go home, I immediately had amazing things happen. Like, I kind of chose my dream this time. And that's what I'm going to keep doing, hopefully.
When we met a week ago, I just got an internship at a newspaper. Took me around 2.5 months to get that position, because they're very few people working there on the board, and so I had to like constantly call them to get an interview, and then I got it, and then I got another interview. But they must think I was really crazy, you know, like basically stalking not stalking them, but like calling them.
It's kind of what
every
it
takes.
Week, and who cares what they them. Think? Who cares? You know that you could do it, you know.
Yeah, and I'm really glad I did that, because, you know, they received a lot of emails. They're working on a billion different stories and things like that. Mm. So you always need to be on top of mind for people.
You do.
So that they won't, you know, forget you. You know, sometimes it can be a little scary. I used to have social anxiety and, you know, reaching out to people. Mm-hmm. And then...
I still do.
Me too.
And then emails are scary, right? And like you said, you want to write it yourself. You don't want AI to write it. Yeah. No, but you're so right about the resilience of that and just doing it and going out of your comfort zone. Like, it felt uncomfortable, but people aren't really thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves.
Yeah.
Like, people aren't really doing it. You got to go fight for yourself. Yeah, someone else is pushing harder, you know, and so you got to push a little harder and do your best. be like a well-oiled machine. Like, you gotta have, like, you're put in the work, and then it does work. And then you get these beautiful rewards. And then it feels so gratifying because you did it. Even us, like, we met randomly, like, at a House of Creatives event, and then I followed up with you. You have to follow up. You have to do genuine interest. You have to, like, see what's out there, you know? And now I'm part of the 100th episode.
Yes. And something a little bit embarrassing happened during episode 99. I thought that it was the 100th episode, but it wasn't.
That's
so
hilarious.
I got, there was this Finnish pop rock singer that I was interviewing. Her name's Abiela.
Check her out. Hey, Abiela.
Yeah. Hi, Abiela. So she was releasing her latest EP, Flick My Hair.
Oh, I love it.
And it was inspired by Burlesque, you know, the soundtrack to Burlesque, but like with a rock sound.
Yes.
And she got so hyped up to be in the 100th episode that turned out to be the 99th. She brought me balloons.
Oh my god. Well, so let's pretend this is 101 or something.
Yeah.
I say we just give her the 100.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. Things work out.
I should have brought balloons.
You should have brought balloons.
Instead, I was just sweaty from walking across that park.
Yeah, I feel a little bit, but I just...
It's 100 degrees outside Fahrenheit. I know you guys don't speak Fahrenheit.
No.
But yeah.
But still.
Don't feel bad. And you know what? We should just... Everyone should go check out her music.
Yeah.
And I will too. And so she's 100 to me.
Yeah. But I just want to say thank you so much for being a part of the 100th episode. Is there something that you'd like to have said that I haven't asked you about?
I mean, I just would like to talk about you. I think you're so impressive and it's so amazing that you've worked on this and worked so hard. And then you're also, you got this internship. You're doing the right things and you're in this the right place. And so I'm glad that people are listening to you. And if you have a friend, you should share it with your friend if this was inspiring, and listen to the other episodes and blow your situation up, because you deserve it. Such a kind energy, if you guys don't get to meet him in person, and a vibe, you know? He's got this big hair. I saw him from across the party. I was like, I gotta talk to this person, you know? So I'm honored to be a part of 100 or 101 episode, we might say. And I think it's just so fun when you end up in the right places, and here we are. So thank you guys for listening.
Thank you. And what platforms are you on if somebody would like
I'm
to follow
on everything,
you?
And my Instagram is Jonathan Bluth, so Jonathan Bluth, Bluth. My artist project's Bluth. You can check out Willa Ford's music. She's going on tour, and she's doing all the gay clubs in the U.S., so, you know, be kind out there and don't worry so much. I know the world seems crazy, but we can fix it. So we'll all, y'all take care of it. All right. So don't worry. Just go do what you can do every day to make the world take a little chunk out of the world, and don't give up on your dreams. Like, 'cause they're completely possible. Don't listen to the people that say it's not. Just double down on yourself.
So thank you so much, and thank you for listening, and I hope to catch you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
Hej då.
Hej då.
Puss, hej.